Human Resources and Employment Law Tips and Advice. In association with the HRSuite.com.
Yeah, okay, Caroline, listen, thanks a million for joining us again this month. If anyone has any queries or questions, get them into us now in terms of workplace, human resources, recruitment, any other issues like that, then do get in touch with us on the programme this morning. Caroline, if I can start with you, just looking at, I suppose, there's a number of different issues affecting employers and employees at the moment. One of the ones that caught my eye was that the Health and Safety Authority are running free online health and safety induction for SMEs, and it's also concentrating on the area of stress in your work, or helping employers to spot when workers are stressed. Now, I would have always thought that, you know, you need a certain level of stress in the workplace in order to get people to do their jobs, I guess, and make sure that deadlines are met and all of that. But is there a responsibility? I know there's a wider responsibility on employers to make sure if someone is really struggling, to support them and give them time off on that. But workplace stress, you know, tolerable levels, it can be a tricky one to kind of find a balance on, can't it?
Yeah, I suppose you've picked a very topical area now where a lot of employees feel that whether it's working from home and they're managing stress-related scenarios while working from home, and they don't necessarily maybe have the same level of support that they would if they were able to pop into the office to somebody next door, or alternatively, people are just stressed because they're overwhelmed with the amount and volume that they have to do. I suppose the Health and Safety Authority have identified this as one of the areas that we can be proactive in terms of trying to positively help people manage stress. And I suppose you're right, there's always going to be a level of elements of stress for people, but it's when it gets unhealthy and it gets overwhelming for people, that's where the issue is. The Health and Safety Authority have a guide for employers, which is free. You can go on the Health and Safety Authority website and you can download it, and it just gives lots of kind of tips and ways to maybe kind of avoid it, and things like making sure people are clear in terms of their role, making sure they're getting good communication. We mentioned people working from home, making sure they know who they can go to if they've got an issue. Other things like poor interpersonal relationships at work can be very stressful for people, where you've got people who don't get on, and again using mediation or using different processes to help, you know, address those kind of things. And then I suppose ultimately then it's the planning of work and making sure that people, you know, have a fair amount of work to do that's not, you know, unachievable. So they're the kind of things and measures that employers should and could be doing to consider, you know, helping employees in terms of work planning, work environment, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and if you're, I suppose, the employee here and you're finding yourself, it depends on what you're doing in terms of how much effort you're putting in or how much work, or how, I won't say clever you can be or productive you can be while still maintaining your health. Burnout is the issue and the one that you need to avoid. And is it your responsibility as an employee as well as the employer to spot if you're in the danger area for that?
I suppose it's like anything to do with work environments. We have a shared responsibility. The employer has a responsibility to kind of put in place good measures like designing of work and, you know, tasks, the work environment, making sure people have an environment free of bullying, harassment and inappropriate behaviour. But then I suppose individually, everybody has the journey of life where they might be going through stress that's external to work, but it's impacting work. And also there might be an interpersonal relationship issue at work that's going on the employer may not know about. So it's trying to, I suppose, have an open scenario where employees feel comfortable that they can go and talk to somebody if they've got an issue, and vice versa, that employers put in place those proactive measures as well.
And from there, Caroline, speaking of that, the four-day week is becoming more of a feature now of discussion around how things are organised, and some companies already signed up to it. There's a new four-day week pilot recruiting new companies to take part in their trial. It's something that, I suppose, that could feed into everything we've been talking about, stress and burnout and other issues.
I think what we've seen is people looking at new ways and new ways of managing flexibility and work-life balance. You know, a lot of companies operate term time. They operate, you know, additional opportunity to take more time off during the summer. And another variation of this now is the four-day week. The big difference with the four-day week to any other form of flexibility that's out there at the moment is you get paid your full wage, but you only work four-fifths of a week. So the concern, I suppose, with it is that you're trying to jam-pack 5 days work into 4 days, and it's actually overwhelming to be working the 4 days. Like many of your listeners know, they're back to work today after the bank holiday, and the concept is it's a 4 day week, but you get paid for 5 days. So it shouldn't be a case of needing to be overworked the 4 days you're there. It's a new trial. We had a very small take-up. We had only 12 companies in trial number one, even though the feedback was very, very positive. I suppose the opportunity now of having larger numbers involved in trial number two, I suppose it's going to be a big attraction and retention tool if it works. And I think a lot of this is going to be taking advantage of automation, taking advantage of better and more efficient ways of working. And I think the companies that will embrace that have a good opportunity around this as well.
None of the 12 companies involved in last year's pilot program returned to a 5 day work week, at least so far. That, I suppose, tells its own story. It's going to be done on the 180-100 model. What is that?
So the idea is that we're working, your people are going to be working full hours, i.e. 4 days over. It's not going to be extended hours, so they're going to be working literally a 4 day week, the same hours that they would work on those 4 days. So there's 1 day gone, whereas a lot of people at the moment might work longer hours. The idea is
in order to make up for the day that's missing.
Exactly.
That's counterproductive, I suppose,
that's
in terms of the idea behind it.
Yeah. So it's as you said, all of the 12 companies last time around maintained it and continued it, but I suppose there's certain roles that it probably suits best. And even talking to my own clients that operate a 4 day week, they would say that the staff are required to work maybe extra hours some of those 4 days to make up for client demands or other things. So I think it's one that we need a lot more information on to see if this actually is a win-win for employees or if it's actually more stress and pressure, and to see is it a win-win for employers to see if productivity is maintained and the same amount of work is done over the 5 days, because that's the promise of it, that employees get an additional day off and productivity and work output remains the same.
So 100% of the pay for 100% of the productivity 80% of the time is the key
exactly.
thing, and that's the deal
exactly.
that has to be struck or achieved if this is going to work.
Indeed, exactly. So it's going to be one that I think everybody's going to be interested in, because we know that people want to work less hours. That's the EU kind of aim, and the way the legislation is going, that there is more flexibility, that people have more family leave, more carers leave time, etc. And ultimately we're going to see more and more of the reduction of hours and increase in these type of initiatives.
Yeah, Carolyn, speaking of, I suppose, balancing your staff and your 4 day week, it won't work for every industry, it won't work for every job at the moment, particularly I suppose in hospitality, but to an extent across all industry, staffing is a big issue. Labour shortage is a big issue. We're 3.8% unemployment, effectively full employment in Ireland, and everywhere you go, particularly cafes, restaurants, bars, hotels, there are signs up in the window. That means probably a lot of employers are trying to juggle and get enough staff to work the hours that they have.
They are indeed, and I think we're seeing that a lot of employers now are closing certain days of the week because they can't staff it. I know I went into a restaurant there in the last month, and the owner of the restaurant said, listen, we actually can't get staff, so we've reduced our hours. So you really see it starting to impact on service and impact on their ability to provide a service to customers that they're hoping to achieve. I suppose what it means though as well is employers need to think differently. I also see now, a lot of employers in hospitality are providing things like health insurance and pension. They're providing more, block shifts together rather than split shifts. They're thinking outside the box. And obviously, we have a lot of summer staff now coming into the market and making sure that the summer staff are treated well, they get good training, good opportunity for transferable skills, because a lot of them are going abroad if we don't give them that positive experience here. And I think that's the challenge for employers now, to think differently to make sure that they're competitive, so that employees want to work in their business over somebody else's.
Yeah, not easy. Could it result in well, I suppose for cost purposes as well, but the service you supply, would you have to reduce the amount of time you're open? If you just can't get the staff, you obviously you'll be worried about the use of your own staff overextended period, but also the level of service you can provide in a busy operation to customers, which might be harmed.
Yeah, without doubt, Jerry, we're seeing more places kind of close and work hours, you know, that suit the staffing that they have available, because they can't staff outside of those hours. So it's definitely something we're seeing more of. It's a real challenge, though, because ultimately, I suppose, everybody is focused on trying to make hay while the sun shines over the summer season, particularly in Kerry. So everybody's looking to get staff from the same pool. We've seen also a lot of employers have accommodation now for their staff as well. In other words, they're thinking outside the box to add something that's a distinct advantage to staff to encourage them to work in their environment.
Okay, listen, that's where we're going to leave it. Caroline, thanks so much for that. That's Caroline Reedy with the human resources slot, the HR slot of the HR suite, of course, here on Radio Kerry, one of the top experts in human resources in the country.